Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my Facebook Live family. My beauty and barber professionals nationwide that are watching, we are Facebook Live and we are Blog Talk Radio. So we've incorporated some new technology. We are working to make sure that we are able to be a resource to our entire industry. I am Tamara Johnson-Shealy. I am the Senior Advocate of Politics, Beauty, and Barber. I am the President of the Concerned Beauty and Barber Professionals. We are a two-in-one organization. We address legislation nationwide that affects the beauty and barber industry, in addition to addressing the need for a higher standards in this industry, in particular, continuing education. Our industry is going by the wayside. I know you guys are watching on the internet today how the teachers across the nation in Oklahoma and the teachers in Kentucky are standing in solidarity. And I thought that would be a great opportunity for us to talk about what solidarity actually means for us in the beauty and barber industry. What is solidarity? I think so many of us are taught from the day we go to beauty school, the day we go to barbering school, to compete with one another. And this industry is full of people that are, you know, trying to one-up you or be better than the person next to them, or be better than the other stylist down the street. I mean, we're an industry of competitors, and solidarity is something that is opposite of competition. And solidarity means in unity or agreement, a feeling of action, especially among individuals with a common interest, mutual support within a group. I think that is something that is an anomaly for beauty and barber professionals. We don't know what solidarity is. We don't know what it means to work together and build together, be together, and create together, because we are taught to literally compete. We have barber battles, hair shows. All we do is compete. We have to get beyond that as an industry if we want to see growth, if we want to see change, if we want to see opportunity in our industry. We have to get beyond the competitiveness and the competition that we have in our industry. Nothing will ever happen positive for us until we get beyond the competition. I have people chiming in, hey, Sharonda. She's saying, yes, absolutely. We definitely need to get beyond competition. We need to start working together, and we need to create solidarity. When we think about the bills that we have seen this year, if we don't start to work together, I hate to keep sounding like a broken record, but this industry won't exist. We'll always be behind the eight ball. We'll be trying to catch up. We'll be chasing our money instead of our money chasing us. I remember when I came into this industry, stylists were making six figures. I saw it. I watched it. I was a nail tech, for those of you who don't know my story. I was a nail tech, and I was very strategic about working in high-end salons and working around true professionals, because I knew if they ate, I ate. So I made sure that I fed off them, and they, you know, sent their clients my way, and we had a great relationship in the salons that I worked in. Then I went out and I started my own salon and had my own staff, and I competed with no one. We just did what we did. We wanted to be the best at what we did. It wasn't about the competition. And if beauty and barber professionals want to win in this industry, and if we want to bring collectiveness back to this industry and some sense of professionalism, we have to get beyond the competition. So I want you guys to call in. We've incorporated some new technology with our efforts today. So call in. Let me give you the call-in number. It's on the screen. It's call-in. It's 657-383-1784. Call in and talk. Let's talk about the solidarity and how we actually create solidarity in the beauty and barber industry. We got to get beyond, you know, I'm better than this person, or, you know, I want to be, we have to get beyond that, and we have to have these kind of conversations in order to do it. We have people chiming in. Hey, Grace, she says, you are spot on. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Yes, we have to get beyond the competitiveness in this industry and create solidarity. It was so encouraging to watch those teachers today. If y'all are not following social media, the teachers in Oklahoma and Kentucky, I believe it is, they are literally like on fire. They're on fire. They are like tired of being tired. They're tired of low wages. They're tired of you know, not being seen as a legitimate profession. I mean, gosh, we send our kids to school to be, you know, taught by teachers. And you know, we want to make sure that they are, what they're taken care of. So we do have a caller. Let's see if we can bring her in. Caller, welcome. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. It's Grace Moschetto.
Yes. Hey, Grace, welcome, welcome. Let's talk about solidarity. What do we do as beauty and barber professionals to create solidarity in this industry?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this lately and have experienced some very rapid changes in my life that has just brought me back to pointing to that inward compass and just going back to the very basic passion of why we're in the industry. Start there to eliminate competition and just go to the love of why you're doing this.
Yes. Yeah, I think so many people forget, you know, what the beauty of the beauty industry and the love that's behind it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, whatever happened to our clients, you know, wanting to accommodate and host and care for them and put a smile on their face, you know, what I've seen this industry become is just a lot of nitpicking and actually people being mean to each other as stylists, and we've dropped our heart somewhere along the line. And I just feel like what happened to our clients, you know, what happened to caring for them?
Mm-hmm. Because that's the reason why we came into the industry, is to take care of them and to take mm-hmm. care of people. But we've become so competitive
yeah.
in this. The word solidarity is like a bad word, like, huh? Work with, communicate with, you know, it's like there's so much stuff happening in our salon. I mean, and when you think about these salon suites that are popping up everywhere, Grace, it's sad to see our industry be so separated. Like, we used to know how to work around amongst each other, and now we don't.
Yes, indeed. You know, cross promotion, and I believe a big issue and the problem is fear. You know, we're fearing each other that, you know, and, but, you know, in this world, there are always going to be people who do things better or worse than us. And
mm-hmm.
we can't concentrate on what other people are doing. We have to use that term for exactly what it means and mind our own business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And be intentional about minding our business as a community, as an industry. We have to now, I mean, have you seen the Facebook Live with the teachers that are literally like walking out of schools today? Have you seen that?
Oh, I have not. I haven't gotten this is actually, it's funny, oddly enough, you popped up on Facebook. I haven't really been on too much today, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, they're standing in solidarity. They're protesting, and they're saying, you know, they want better wages. They want to be, because this is a legitimate profession, and for our teachers to be, mm-hmm. you know, minimized as if teaching is just a job. Oh, it's not just a job. Just like beauty and barber professionals, this is not just a job.
Mm-hmm.
This is a career. This is the rest of our lives.
Yes, indeed, and teaching people, whether it's on the private level or public level, it's a profession, and it's a huge skill. And as with any profession, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But, you know, we're all different, and we're all not meant to do the same thing. So I definitely agree. We need to have we need to hold on to the value of what we're doing and have it be recognized as a profession.
And we need to bring that back, and we don't know how to do it. And let's talk about, like, some maybe a simple step as, you know, I miss the old-fashioned salons and barbershops where people actually worked together and they knew, and we were it was a sense of family. I miss that.
I do too. I'm very much like you. I started off as a nail tech as well, and it was in 2002. And it was at a time where it might have been on the tail end of things as we knew it, but there was an absolute in terms of, you know, using salon professional products, the word professional was an absolute, and it's not now. It's been misused and stomped on, and I agree. We had a much more family-oriented atmosphere, and yet we were still able to remain professional. It's been a sad state, and I feel like the last 5 years. I feel like spring of 2013 is really when it kind of bottomed out and seemed to take a free for all.
Yes, I think I saw it. I think I saw it in 2008 when the housing market started to crash. I don't know what happened. This is a pretty resilient industry. I've always felt like if nothing else, people would get hair and nails. They would get those services that make them feel better. But I think after 2008, I think I saw just an extreme shift from there. I think that affected so many of us that and it hit me hard as well. And I just think that's when I saw the shift, the biggest shift.
Wow. Yes. Well, it's interesting. But I mean, and that it would make sense because that's a sign of the times, right? I mean, the all the bubbles that were being burst. So the fact that we're paralleled with that, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling in, Grace. These are the kind of conversations that we have to continue to have as beauty and barber professionals. We have to have open dialogue about how we change the state and the fate of our industry. And it starts with us. I mean, professionalism to me goes, you know, it is who we are. And get beyond the competitiveness and work in solidarity, we're not going to have an industry, y'all.
No, I totally agreed. I've been thinking about this last couple of days, actually. It's popped into my head. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm gonna go out on a limb and risk it and throw it out there. But, you know, we're supposed to be creative thinkers who supposedly think out of the box, right?
Yeah.
We seem to be able to do that very well with our art, but why not with our structure? Now, why can't we have maybe, and again, this is just a thought, why can't we go beyond what we have as far as licensure now where it's state regulated, and why can't we have a choice to have a national license, which would require more hours and maybe a higher fee, and a choice, have it be an optional national license, and then whatever state you reside in, you pay your state. Why can't we have a choice to have both, and then be able to move around the country freely? If we choose to, you know, go with a national one, so that it would kind of create a more streamlined standard, I guess, you know, or standardize it.
Yeah. Hold that thought.
I don't think
Grace.
Any of the states would lose money.
Exactly. Hold that thought, Grace. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come back to you. Let's grab another caller real quick. Caller, thank you for dialing in. How are you? Hello? We have a caller, 901-502. Uh-oh, somebody's gotten quiet, y'all, a little shy.
Hello?
Hey, how are
Hello?
You? Tell me your name.
Hey, my name is Christian Wu, and I'm calling from Memphis.
Hey,
Tennessee.
What's your name again?
Christian Wooten.
Hey, Christian, how are you? Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I actually got a, I received a text message about the conference.
Yeah.
I believe that I was really just trying to listen in. I didn't really intend to call the radio station. Did I call the wrong number?
Yeah, exactly. Well, welcome to the call. Give us some feedback. Today we're talking about solidarity. Give us some feedback on what you think we need to do to create solidarity in the beauty and barber industry. What can we do to bring back the structure that we need in the beauty and barber industry?
To be honest, I'm online. Really, I don't really have an idea yet. I want to hear what was going on.
Okay,
so I can decide,
well, listen in.
You know.
Well, listen in. Continue to listen in. We'll come back to you. Continue to listen in. Chime in if you have a thought that you want to share. Grace, are you there?
I am.
Awesome, awesome. So we have a person that has chimed in on Facebook, and he says there's no such thing as competition. It's millions of people with hair. I'm going to put it on the screen. He says there's no such thing as competition. Millions of people with hair and just few hairdressers compared to the millions of people looking to be serviced.
Mm-hmm.
Hairdressers should always be looking for new clients instead of depending on their existing client base. That's an interesting thought. But we do compete.
It's
That's
true.
Why we have hair shows and barber battles. And Nate, call in if you want to chime in and make your voice heard. Nate Ragland is a veteran hairstylist out of the Atlanta, Houston area, with many years of wisdom. So call in, Nate. I'd love to hear from you and definitely love to hear what you have to say out loud. But, yeah, I think there's competition. You think there's competition, Grace?
Well, I in a word, yes. I mean, you know, there is. I mean, whether we like it or not and whether we choose to compete or not, I mean, I feel like it's human nature. But, you know, maybe we start shifting the paradigm and come up with some other words that are diffusing that language, like showcase. You know, we showcase our talents. And instead of competing with each other, we all share, you know, just maybe use a gentler dialogue. You know, I pride myself on doing that. And I know that the way of the world is more harsh dialogue. But I think if we could, you know, have it be truthful, but just maybe just get it a little bit more gentle and so that it's not such a competition. And, you know, I don't care for competition. Not when it comes to art. I have a painting, a fine arts background, and I never participated with a juried show before because it's so very subjective, and it's like what Nate was saying. Not only millions of people, there's actually, 7 billion people on the planet. So I firmly believe there's enough to go around, and that's why we have to just all get back to our basics, our center, as far as what, you know, what our love of the industry. What is it that we absolutely love, and just work off that one or two passions that you may have, and then it does. It eliminates the competition.
Yes, yeah.
Or the proverbial competition.
Yes, I definitely want us to get back to what it means to, it says, the definition I have here is unity or agreement, especially among individuals with a common interest, mutual support within a group. I want us to get back to that, where we are like looking out for one another, and we're doing things to grow the industry as a whole. You know, holding each other accountable. Like when we see each other like doing certain things, or you know, you could be standing next to someone and they're servicing a client and they're on their cell phone, for an example. I mean, we understand that you know, you have to take that call, but your client is feeling like, you know, should you really take that call while you're providing this service for me? Even holding ourselves, you know, being able to say things to other stylists or barbers that, you know, that hold us accountable to each other.
That's right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that I think that's absolutely true, that we should be paying a little bit more attention to what we're doing, and also just, you know, in general, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, treat other people the way you want to be treated. I also have a corporate background too, and in that experience, one of the things that that was taught was that you take that a little bit further. It's not how you want to be treated. It's how they want to be treated. You treat people the way they want to be treated. How do you know how they want to be treated unless you're listening, unless you're being observant, paying attention, pay attention to those things. Because in our business, what's in it for them first before what's in it for us. Right.
Yes.
As service professionals. And, you know, and it's the same thing. It's like when you go to a store, you want to hear the inside information and going on of, you know, the cat, like a person who's at the cash working the register, or you know, I for one do not care to hear any information that is not relative to why I'm in that store. By somebody who works there. And it's the same thing for us. And so, you know, people just need to sort of ask themselves, well, how does that make me feel when I experience that? And do I want to make somebody else feel that way? So we have to pay attention to other people, treating people correctly or right. And then we have to pay attention to and show some constraint as far as, want to say something or do something that might make you feel good temporarily, but in the long run, it's going to make it's going to make somebody else feel not so good. So, you know, just show a little constraint and don't say anything. You know, I mean, it's all very basic stuff. There's a book called Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum Jr.
Yeah,
heard
of that book.
I know I might come across like a child or what have you, but, you know, my soul is very much like that. I have a childlike innocence, and it's filled with simplicity. And I think that's my answer to it is go to love. I don't think you can go wrong with that.
And I'm totally with you. You cannot go wrong when you are servicing your clients and like Grace said, you're paying attention to them and you're giving them what they want. And you're remembering those tools we learned in kindergarten, because I think though that was literally the most formal training that most of us had that we can all say, yes, I learned how to be kind. I learned how to love. I learned how to share. You learned all these basic principles that have taken you through this part of your life. Hopefully.
and then in
the industry, right, Grace?
Yes, I was going to say, then what we have to do is be those intelligent, creative thinkers who, you know, most of us are empaths in this industry. We're energy feelers. We feel it. Now we have to make the connection for whatever we're doing with our clients and the way we're treating them. We have to treat everybody like that. So whether it's whether they're in the industry or out of the industry, we have to be human first. You know, use your human skills first and foremost, because being a stylist is just something that you do. It's not who you are. It's part of who you are, but it's not who you are. You're human, and it's something that you do.
That's why I love this industry so. For, you know, being a part now in politics and beauty is such a, like, it's such a, they're extreme opposites. Where politics is cutthroat, it's you better watch your back, you don't, you know, every word could be, you know, detrimental. It's like politics is a whole different game. When I remember, you know, the person that I've always been and the person that the beauty and barber industry has taught me to be, it's so much love. It's so much good. And the solidarity that we need, I mean, it goes back to, like Grace said, the basic fundamental things that we learned in kindergarten. I love that example, Grace, because the solidarity we need, we have to go back to these childhood tools that we learned.
Right? Yes. Oh, most definitely. And I mean, admittedly, in this business, I have really had I've struggled mostly the last 5 years trying to figure out where I fit into this industry because I'm not a typical behind the chair stylist. And I'm guilty of this, and the timing of this conversation, it's so funny how there you were, you just kind of popped up, and I'm like, well, I'm going to call. But the timing is great because I have strayed away. What used to work when I started my makeup company in 2006 doesn't work anymore, and I've been so stubborn. I have been so stubborn in trying to make it work, you know, be this square peg, and try to fit into a round hole. I can't do it. And I finally just said, what am I doing? I'm chasing around stylists. You know, I'm looking at different product lines and what have you. And I'm looking at these product lines. It's like, I like color. Okay. And you'd think as an artist, I would love it. But I just don't. It's not my thing. But I've invested a lot of time and energy into learning about it so that I could be relatable. But you know what? At the end of the day, it has gotten me nothing but miserable. So I'm dropping all products except for Grace Marie Beauty. You know, because I lost myself.
Yeah. And this is what, this is a beauty. Like I said, I go back to just saying I love the beauty and barber industry because I think it's so, the peace that I have, that I had when I provided services, the peace that I felt like I wanted to create for my clients, the camaraderie that I wanted to create with fellow professionals. I mean, I just, this industry is just, it's phenomenal. And going back to solidarity, how do we create that? Watching these teachers today, it was so empowering because I see that they're standing for something. They're standing for their industry. Mm-hmm. They're standing for their profession. And they're not going to allow legislators and legislation to dictate how they conduct their, you know, how they teach in their classrooms and the money that they should be making. They're like, we're not standing for this. This is ridiculous. We have a whole, you know, system that's failing children, and we have an industry that's failing professionals. If we're not careful, we don't want to be, you know, not licensed. The thought of that scares me.
Exactly.
Well, creating solidarity is something that's back to kindergarten.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, so not only we're cheating ourselves, but now we're cheating and we're creating a really awful legacy, right? Don't we care about future generations? So we're doing a disservice to next generations by doing what has been taking place, I believe you when you say since 2008. So maybe we organize a march of our own called Cut It Out.
You know what? And on that thought, Trace, because I only have a yes, because you've come up with some great ideas, a march of our own. That would be phenomenal. Yes. So this is what we'll do. This episode was only it was a test because I'm using two different platforms at the same time. So what I like to do, Grace, if you don't mind, is reach back to you and maybe talk some more because I would like for us to talk about a march, beauty and barber professionals.
Yes.
Let's march. Let's do something radical. Let's do something that turns the heads of legislators and say, you know what? This industry is not taking it either. So, Grace, I'll reach back to you real soon, okay? Sometime this week I have your phone number, so I'll call you.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Joining me on
I'm very
this
curious
podcast.
About your – oh, thank you. And you'll have to tell me about your platforms that you're using because they're really cool.
Awesome. I will. I'll call you soon.
All right. Thank you, Tamara. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. So beauty and barber professionals, we are politics, beauty and barber. We are beauty and barber professionals. Our goal nationwide.